Good morning all, welcome to this lovely sunny windy day, all bright and cheerful. Now, I don't know if Margaret said anything to upset anybody, but she's sitting there all on her own. If anyone wants to join her, they're welcome, but if you want to stay where you are, you're welcome to do that as well. We still love you, Margaret and Chloe. Right. So welcome everybody, and we just open the meeting with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we just praise and thank you for this day. We thank you for your love, Lord. We thank you that even though it's not sunny and nice, it's windy and rainy, but it's still yours, Lord, and it's still your weather. And we thank you for that and the wonderful things you do for us. We just praise your holy name, Jesus. Amen. Right, we're doing things slightly different. Notice this first. It's a church meeting next Sunday at 2 o'clock. We've got the normal meetings to it during the week. this week. There was obviously off the Girls Brigade last week, but they're on this week. Tea and chat's on this week. Bible study Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock.
On Zoom,
yes.
Thursday morning.
Oh yes, there's a Bible study in the church, isn't there, on Thursday? I haven't read my notices very clearly, have I? Never mind. Is there anything else that's going on that I haven't covered?
Can I just ask, sorry, bless coming from nowhere. Girls Brigade tomorrow night, Debbie's going to be short of helpers. Because obviously Margaret's isolating and I'm isolating. If anyone is available to help Debbie, can you give me a ring at some point today, just so that I know that it's covered? Thank you.
Anything else? No. Right, now we're going to ask for prayers. I'm going to do prayers a bit later, but I'll ask for people you want any prayers for at the moment. Is there anybody in particular? We're now going to sing our first hymn, which is Brother, Let Me Be Your Servant. Sustain you I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. God will sustain us for all, from church, from birth, all the way through to our old age. He looks after us, he loves us. We may not always see it or feel it, but he is there. And this is what Christ came to be, our servant. And as we are in the image of God and of Christ, then we should be servants to each other. We should look after our fellow brothers and sisters from the cradle until the time when we meet with God again, which could be before the other people you see us, but I didn't say that. Then we go to share in his glory in heaven. So just look out for your brothers and sisters. Look out for the weak ones that need your help. And for the strong ones that seem to be strong, but are not necessarily always strong. Just appears it sometimes from the outside. We all need love. We all need care. No matter how brave a face people put on. Just remember, what goes on inside, only really God knows. So we must be sensitive to each other and love and care. Thank you. We're going to sing two small choruses. If you stay up there, John, go on, please. And after these two choruses, it's going to be a time of very quiet prayer. So we'll wait for you to come down, John. We won't sort of stay while you're up there. And the first one is Abba Father. And the second one is Be Still and Know That I Am God.
May my will forever be.
So be still and know. Back up again, please. We're not going to sing it. Now, just want to sit quietly. I will close your eyes if you want to, open your eyes if you want to. But I'm going to read these words out. And I want us to try and remember there are times in our life when we must be still and just know that God is God. Don't necessarily ask him for anything, but just sit in his presence and enjoy him and feel close to him. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. O Lord, in you do I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. And we must put our trust in God. He is the only way we can find salvation and peace. The only way this world will be a better place. The only way we can learn to love people. The only way we can do it, because we do it in His strength and not in our own. And just remember, I am, be still and know, I am God. And we're just going to have a quiet here now to think about that. Heavenly Father, may you touch the hearts of everybody who's here this day. Reach into their minds and their hearts. Enfold them in your love. Cover them in your Holy Spirit, Lord, that they may go forward in doing the work you need them to do. Into showing the love that you show us. Just strengthen us, Lord, in your grace. Strengthen us in your power of your Spirit. And we ask it in your holy name, Lord. Amen. Keith, would you put the prayer box up there, please? There's various names up here that we're praying for. We pray obviously for Helen and the girls because Natalie's been through, got COVID. Lord, we pray for the world. We pray for the COVID in the world, Lord. It's still quite bad in some countries. And here in Russia's got locked down again in some parts of the city, and Australia has never really lifted. So Lord, we just pray that this COVID will go away, Lord. I know we have to learn to live with some things, but it's not very nice for a lot of people, Lord, and it's causing a lot of distress for people. And we pray for other countries in the world where there's hunger and there's war and greed, Lord. And as we prayed earlier, we can't do anything without you. And these countries will never find peace without you. So, Lord, I pray for your Spirit to be upon the leaders of these countries, that they won't want greed and they won't want to hurt each other. Bring peace to this world, Lord, we ask. We pray that children are starving, and Lord, and pray that the goods will arrive to help them, and also with sicknesses and that all this equipment will come to help them all, especially in places like Yemen, Afghanistan, Somalia, in Ethiopia. Lord, there's so many countries in the world that really are in need. So Lord, help us to help them if we can, but pray for them, Lord, that their governments will find you. Pray that for our government as well, Lord, that they will find Christian teaching and leading. Lord, we pray that when they meet, that they will be led by your Spirit to make the right decisions for this country and to lead us in your path. We just praise you for all these people, Lord, and for the many charities that are trying to help people out in various ways. We just pray for finances to come in for them, for the manpower to be there for them, and for your grace to be upon the people who serve and work there. I'd like to end these prayers with the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
We're now going to sing another hymn. It's Servant King. And as we're singing, been talking about being servants to each other, I think this is appropriate.
Oh,
Now Linda's going to bring the Bible reading to us.
This is from Joshua 14, verses 6 to 14. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Amen.
Oh, do you want to give us a solo or something there, didn't you, Linda? Thanks very much. Right, we're actually going to sing again, and this one is a good old-fashioned one, which I love. What a friend we have in Jesus. And that's really lovely one.
Oh,
will come and give us the word.
Right, okay, coming through. Well, it's a few weeks ago now, the beginning of what I think was the church prayer meeting on Zoom. Helen played a video which dated from the beginning of the very first COVID lockdown, and it was a song based on the words, "May the Lord bless and keep you." And it started off with just one or two people, and then the screen got fuller and fuller and fuller, and it was singers from all sorts of different churches and different denominations. Some I'd heard of, some I hadn't. You could hear traces of different accents. You could see every shade of complexion. And I was just thinking, isn't it wonderfully diverse here? And then it dawned on me. I doubt I've seen more than two faces that looked a day older than 50. Where were the rest of us? I mean, it was all very encouraging and so on, but where were the elderly people? Well, of course, it was obvious where we were at the time. We were carefully isolating if we were over 70. And what was, didn't they say 12 weeks? And we weren't as yet familiar with Zoom. I thought, is this what the church would look like without the elderly? Would we be missed? Well, of course, some churches wouldn't even exist without the elderly, because they make up a major part of the population, especially today. And I can already see some of you itching to say, well, if it weren't for the elderly people, this wouldn't get done and that wouldn't get done. And what's elderly anyway? When do we slip over the edge from caring for the elderly to being one of the elderly? I suppose we're talking about caring for the elderly today. I think it's easier than talking about divorce or parenting. Anyway, always remember that really old means at least 5 years older than you are. Now, yeah, even for you, Fred. Now, how's old age regarded in the Bible? What does it say about how the elderly are to be treated and how they're to behave? Well, firstly, it's regarded as a blessing. The fifth commandment says, honour your father and your mother, that you may live long in the land your God has given to you. One of the blessings to Abraham was that he'd live to a good old age. The prophet Zechariah looks forward to good times coming to Jerusalem, when the streets will be filled with boys and girls playing and men and women of ripe old age sitting there with their walking sticks in their hands. That's in chapter 8. And it leads us to think of aged patriarchs and matriarchs sitting in comfort, surrounded by an ever-increasing family, and this illustrates one of the most important aspects of a happy old age, a sense of belonging. Now, it might be belonging to a blood family, or increasingly these days, to a group of like-minded people. I mean, after all, we're kind of talking about the church family. And we became very aware during the lockdown of the importance of contact with other people, especially with our families, and the effects of loneliness on both mental and physical health. And we realise that loneliness isn't restricted to the elderly. All across society, people are feeling the effects. And as a whole, we've been conscious of our need to belong and to make people welcome. But whether we are elderly or not, a sense of belonging is not just something that other people provide for us. Belonging involves responsibilities, giving as well as receiving, and doing both graciously. Not just expecting to be treated with consideration and respect because we've managed to survive so far. After all, the Bible says in Leviticus 19, when in the presence, rise in the presence of the elderly, show respect for the aged. But we need to try and pray to deserve that respect. Now, a number of years ago, when I was barely approaching middle age, I came across this little scroll, and I intended to put it upon the wall when I reached, you know, maybe 60, because it's an inspiration, or maybe an awful warning. Has anybody else come across it? It's called a 17th century nun's prayer. Oh boy, she's got a wry sense of humour, but what she says has significance for us in the 21st century, as well as in the 17th. So, I'll read you how it starts. It says, Lord, thou knowest better than I, thou knowest better than I know myself, that I am growing older and will someday be old. Keep me from the fatal habit of thinking I must say something on every subject and on every occasion. Release me from craving to straighten out everybody's affairs. Make me thoughtful, but not moody. Helpful, but not bossy. With my vast store of wisdom, it seems a pity not to use it all. But thou knowest, Lord, that I want a few friends at the end. Yes, the famous wisdom of the aged, acquired through years of experience. Now, shouldn't our families and the church be taking full advantage of all that? Well, the Apostle Paul thought so. In his letter to Titus, when the latter was a leader in the church at Crete, Paul tells him to teach the older men to be, teach and properly remind the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. And the elder women are to be reverent in the way they live, not slanderers or addicted to much wine, but able to train the younger women how to behave towards their husbands and children and in their own lives. In other words, both men and women to actively pass on what they themselves have learned and experienced. So these older members of the church are expected not just to be belonging, to be made welcome and to be appreciated, but also to let their lives be good examples of Christian living and to be willing to play an active part in teaching and helping others. They've got a role to fulfil, a job to do. And it's true today, there's a universal need to feel necessary. Maybe that's why so many of our churches and charities and organisations rely so heavily on the newly retired, who have both the time and the energy to throw themselves into things. Things they couldn't take on when they were at work. Now the church is no different, and it's perhaps better equipped than most to still appreciate people's need to be useful and to take advantage of it, even when the things that they're able to do are shrinking in number and extent. The church really needs those with the time and the experience to pray and to advise and to listen. There's a role for everyone, even though it changes over time. And this brings us to Caleb, that we read about. Now, he'd been one of the 12 spies sent into the promised land by Moses, and one of the two who came back with a can-do attitude. 45 years have gone by since then, and finally the Israelites are moving into the land, and Joshua is allocating various parts of it to the different tribes. And he comes to Caleb's tribe of Judah. Now, as one of the two oldest men in Israel, at 85, Caleb might have expected to be given an easy portion, where he could finally retire and relax. he's having none of that. He preempts whatever Joshua might have been going to say. He wanted the hill country round the town of Hebron, which he'd seen when he was spying out the land and which he'd been promised by Moses. It's even better in the AV, because there he simply says, give me this mountain. Not only did he want a difficult terrain, he wanted a town which he knew was inhabited by the Anakites, who were the giants who snared the other spies so much. But Caleb wasn't deterred. He considered himself to still be as strong and vigorous as he had been in the days when he first saw them. And he was convinced that with the Lord's help, he'd be able to drive them out. What's more, as we can see in the next chapter, he went on to do exactly that. You know, we recognise that elderly people are needed in the church for many of the tasks that require doing. And at the same time, we know that it's important for anyone who's elderly, in other words, just about all of us, to feel that we're still needed and essential. Caleb maybe took it to an extreme that most of us wouldn't consider. But as he said himself, he'd followed the Lord wholeheartedly all his life, and he intended to claim the promises that Moses had made to him 45 years earlier. He believed the promise came from the Lord, and that he'd not changed his mind over the intervening years. And what's more, he'd kept Caleb capable of doing his part, and so Caleb fully intended to do it. He held on to the promises and he finally saw them come to fruition. So it makes me wonder, are the promises that the Lord's made to us in the past, are we still holding on to them? Or have we lost faith in his power to bring them to pass? If so, let Caleb be an encouragement. As he said himself, he was following the Lord wholeheartedly at the time the promise was made, and he continued to do so. The Lord had kept him alive when all his contemporaries other than Joshua had died, and the promise was equally alive, just waiting for the right time to be fulfilled, and Caleb was ready. As soon as the territories would be given out, he was quick to come forward to claim his mountain and to announce his intention of playing his part in bringing God's promises to pass. Well, even if whatever is the modern church equivalent of fighting giants in hilltop cities, maybe beyond this, there are still other roles for the elderly. Acts 2 talks about the days when God will pour out his spirit so that your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men can dream dreams. I think we can safely assume that this isn't the sort of dream that comes with, as Proverbs said, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. We do probably increasingly indulge in that, sometimes inadvertently, in the middle of a favourite television programme. But the act of dreaming acts is more visionary, more inspired by the Lord, making us more aware of how things could be and should be if only we followed him more wholeheartedly. It's the sort of dream that needs to be shared and acted on. It's the sort of dream that encompasses the kind of people that the Lord wants us to be and to teach others to be. We're back to the exhortations to Titus here and the roles that the elderly can play in the church. Now, eventually, there may come a time when the elderly, and eventually it may apply to all of us, need to be cared for more than we can care for others. But even here, there are reciprocal responsibilities. So we'll see what our 17th century nun has to say about that as she ends her prayer. And she says, keep me reasonably sweet. I don't want to be a saint. Some of them are so hard to live with. that a sour old person is one of the crowning works of the devil. Give me the ability to see good things in unexpected places and talents in unexpected people. And give me, O Lord, the grace to tell them so. I think the best thing that we can sing after that is another hymn, which again is talking about servanthood. We seem to have had everything connected with that this morning, and Rose and I hadn't got together over it, had we?
No. We did both, actually.
Yes. Well, sing, make me a channel of your peace.
Of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore.